Welcome to the University of California San Francisco Sports Medicine Podcast featuring Dr. Nirav Pandya, Dr. Brian Feely, and Dr. Drew Lansdown discussing hot topics in sports medicine and society. We hope you enjoy our podcast and look forward to hearing from you.
Okay. Welcome everyone to our UCSF Sports Medicine Podcast, 6 to 8 weeks with myself, Dr. Nirav Pandya, and Dr. Brian Feely. Drew is probably operating or playing golf, but we needed to get out this emergency podcast with the Warriors signing Chris Paul. Obviously, everyone expected potentially that Jordan Poole would be traded, but I don't think many of us in the Bay Area thought that Chris Paul would be coming here, kind of like when Richard Sherman came over here from the Seahawks to the 49ers. But obviously, a lot of people have concern about Chris Paul's injury history. So, Brian, you know, your first thoughts when you heard that Chris Paul will be potentially donning a Warriors jersey next season?
Yeah, my first thought was, how old is he? And then I looked, he's 38, which is the same age as LeBron. He's drafted out of Wake Forest in 2005. And if you think back to what you were doing in 2005, you didn't have an iPhone. You maybe had a BlackBerry. And you probably, if anything, had one of those like Apple song circle things that I don't even remember the name of.
iPod.
Yeah. It's been so long since Chris Paul was drafted in the league. And then my second thought is, thank God I'll never have to see Chris Paul play against him in the playoffs, because this is probably his last stop. And he's a great player. And I think one of the things that you can say for him is, even though he has kind of a long and checkered injury history, there isn't that big fatal injury in his background. And as far as I can tell, he plays 30 to 35 minutes a game every single year. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at his career minutes per game, and I think a lot of people are surprised by this, he averages right around 33, 34 minutes per game in his career. And where you do see a lot of the non-traumatic things happen to him are in the playoffs. You know, it seems to be that his body starts to break down in the playoffs. And it's an interesting contrast to, say, LeBron, similar age, who's been a kind of a marker of health and consistency. So what do you think are the factors that may lead an athlete in general to break down, particularly with all these soft tissue injuries, say, for a Chris Paul versus a LeBron James?
We always wonder about size. Is there a quote unquote perfect size? I would say it's 5'8" and a hefty 175, maybe not 5'7" and 135 like you are. But I think when you look at both Chris Paul and LeBron, they're not 7'6". They're not like Kevin Durant, who has been, you know, for better or for worse, has had those really serious season ending injuries multiple times in a row, or not in a row, but over and over. I think when you look at LeBron and Chris Paul seems to get either some bad luck injuries. I always think something like a hand fracture is really just you landed funny, something bad happened, it was truly an accident. That's not overuse. But when you look at when he gets them towards the end of the year, it does suggest he pushes himself really hard. Now, if I'm on a medical staff, I look at that and I think, well, gosh, if I've got Steph Curry in front of him and I draft another guard to be behind him or in conjunction with him, well, I can limit his minutes and maybe get him deeper into the playoffs with a little bit of a lower risk of these soft tissue injuries, as long as I find somebody big to play in the middle.
Yeah, you know, I think if you look at his injury history list, I mean, you look, you know, a lot of hamstrings, there was a groin injury, and then obviously the hand fractures. And I know I think there was a story a while back about his hand injuries. I mean, that just comes from Chris Paul stealing the ball, playing defense, being aggressive. Like anyone who's played guard at that position is going to be potentially at risk of it. And you can't control that. But I think with the soft tissue injuries, particularly the hamstrings and the groins, there is a thought that as the season goes on, there's going to be some longitudinal wear and tear on that. We do know that, you know, soft tissue injuries, without there being some sort of obvious biomechanical issue, usually does come from when people are fatigued. It's like when you're skiing, it's that last run of the day when things are fatigued, your muscles aren't controlling yourself, that injuries happen. And I think the same thing is true with soft tissue injuries. So if you take a player who's playing 34 games a minute, do you think that load management, maybe limiting back-to-backs, can be something that could potentially decrease that soft tissue injury risk for him?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think realistically, having somebody that can play with him, that can take the ball up, that can take off some of the load, putting him on the bench a little bit more during the season. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of automatically resting people on the front end or back end of a back-to-back. But I think saying, Could Chris Paul play 25 minutes a game over the course of a season? That's 5,600 minutes less. That's a huge difference. And then say maybe plays 70 games, 72 games, or if he, you know, maybe has a hamstring strain, he gets down to about 65 games. I think that gives him a much better likelihood of making him through the playoffs. So I'm going to ask you to play a pocket general manager here. We've given you the Warriors 48 hours earlier. You know, you've got a young, exciting guard in Jordan Poole, and you've got an amazing future Hall of Famer, high basketball IQ with an injury history. Do you make that trade?
I think I do. I think with the Warriors medical staff, they have had the ability to take players who've had injury histories. Otto Porter's a great example of that. You know, GP2, the way they managed him, Sean Livingston, you know, when he came off that major ligament injury, I think they have the staff and the ability to manage a player who has an injury history and utilize him in the right way, particularly when there's an identifiable factor, which is high minutes. And he's going to be sliding into a position where he's going to be potentially playing less minutes. So absolutely. I think nothing in his injury history is concerning from a standpoint of he has a major cartilage injury like Lonzo Ball, or he's had multiple ligament injuries like, you know, that would be problematic or as a weight. I think if you manage him appropriately, fills a role where, you know, he's going to be well-defined. He's not going to potentially be starting. Absolutely, I would make that trade. Now, there's that differentiation between how we as fans feel about Chris Paul versus Chris Paul, the basketball player. And I think he brings a wealth of experience and can fit the role that the Warriors need in their second unit. And I feel if they manage his minutes, it's a good position.
All right. You said a couple of things there that I want to touch on. You did say, well, basically limit his minutes. Do you think Chris Paul is the kind of guy that will limit his minutes with that idea? I can chase a championship with this team.
Yeah, I think, you know, he doesn't strike me as someone who has been playing high minutes because he just simply wants to. I think he's been placed in a position where he has to carry his teams. Particularly in the postseason. I mean, with the Clippers, it was the case. I think with the Rockets, it was the case. I think with Phoenix, it was more of an issue of bad luck, this groin injury and other stuff that happened. And he had that shoulder contusion or stinger that he had. So I think a lot of his early injury history issues were just that he was dependent on to do a lot of things. And I think in this situation with Curry, with Draymond, with Clay, there's going to be a little bit more veteran kind of respect. And yeah, I don't think he's going to come out and want to play 35, 40 minutes. His body's been breaking down. I think he wants a championship. And that means playing less minutes.
All right. Two questions on that. Do you think Draymond's still with the team?
Oof, good question. I think they made this move to clear salary to sign Draymond. So I think the Warriors want him back. But I don't, if he wants to go somewhere else, that would be interesting if he wants to do that. So I think it's really based on what Draymond wants. I think the team wants it back.
Yeah, I'm worried about the Kings. Yeah. Second question, what do you do with your collection of Jordan Poole pool party t-shirts, jerseys, and swag now?
Well, yeah, I will still wear it, the pool party, you know, in solidarity with Jordan Poole with a good career in Washington. As multiple people on social media showed me, you can very easily change a Jordan Poole jersey to a Chris Paul jersey. He's number three. You just kind of changed a couple of A's and U's around and you're good to go.
Perfect. So let's talk about the draft a little bit. The Warriors had a couple draft picks. One is Brandon Pojemski, who played right down the road in Santa Clara and really moved up the draft board. And then they traded some players for a late round draft pick. When you think about their injury history, is there any red flags that you worry about?
You know, I think if anyone's had a prior, I think in general, what you look for is major ligament injuries prior to entering the draft. So if you look at prior history of ACL, you know, foot injuries like Lisfranc injuries, but I think more importantly, it's prior a cartilage issue. So if they had meniscus surgery, they've had, you know, issues like that, that would be a point of concern. I think soft tissue injuries aren't a big deal. So both these players, at least what's been reported about them, seem very, very, you know, very clean and not issues in terms of major structural issues. But I think the big thing would be cartilage or, you know, meniscus type injuries. Those are things that we, as we saw with James Wiseman, even though that wasn't pre-existing, it's really hard for NBA players to come back from these issues. And I think that's a major red flag.
Okay. So it looks like we're in pretty good shape for our team. We don't have anybody with too many major injury histories in the draft. What do you think about the fact that Cam Whitmore fell so far in the draft?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, one of the reports talked about there was some type of fracture that he had. You know, we don't know the exact details. We're just kind of reading it off the internet. But the fact that anytime you hear bony issues, typically those heal pretty well. The fact that they're concerned about it is worrisome in the sense, is this a bone that was broken near a joint? Did it not heal the right way? Is there some degree of instability? Obviously, we saw this issue with the Giants with Carlos Correa, and there was concern about his ankle and how that healed, even though he hadn't had any issues. So those are things you worry about, because if bony structure is involved, it's hard to correct that. And that then in turn impacts ligaments and soft tissues. So it's interesting that a player of his note, who apparently broke his bone several years ago, teams are still concerned about that.
Yeah, I always worry that there's something that came up, like you said, with either something wrong with his foot, which seems to be really hard for NBA players to get over, or the cartilage in his knees just does not look good. And I think there's a long history of people that looked pretty darn good in college. Their knees are already breaking down. And by the time they get to the NBA, they're already on their way out because they just can't withstand that load.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you think of Greg Oden, you think about, you know, Rudy Gay, like all these guys who've had, you know, people who had issues, pre-existing issues, and they kind of started to manifest early on. Or sorry, not Rudy Gay, Brandon Roy, who, you know, have had kind of degenerative knees that kind of began to really bother and define their career.
All right. So last thing, where do you think the Warriors end up next year? Are we winning the championship with Chris Paul? Are we behind Jokic because we still don't have a big person?
I think the key will be, I think that, you know, in terms of Paul for Poole, I think that it's all going to even out. I mean, I don't think he's necessarily going to like lead them, you know, much differently. I think if this allows if Kuminga and Moody are given the opportunity to exceed and play very well, I think they're the real X factors. You know what we're going to get from Ludi, you know what you're going to get from the core. We got rid of PBJ and Ryan Rollins. They got traded away. So this really is the opportunity for Kuminga and Moody to shine. And if they do, then I think we have an opportunity to compete. If not, then I think it's going to be a very painful season to see these the aging players all together.
Yeah. I always worry about that last season that older players finally start to look their age. And hopefully we've got a couple more years. All right. Well, that wraps up this week with 6 to 8 weeks. Thanks for coming back from Fiji and joining us, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Sounds great.